Today in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson about Paul's voyage and shipwreck that is found in Acts chapter 27. We're going to be looking at an old Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of December the 6th, 1925. You may want to get your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 27, and we're going to begin in just a moment in verse 39. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at our text. Paul has been traveling by ship as a prisoner, going from Caesarea to Rome. And he has come to where they had lost control of this ship, and they'd been out on the storm, and they knew they were coming near the shore. And so they put forth anchors, and they wished for day. I sometimes thought, as they heard those breakers maybe hitting that shore off in the distance, and knowing not what dangers lie before them in that darkness, they probably did some mighty strong wishing that night. We read this in Acts chapter 27 in verse 39. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they perceived a certain bay with a beach, and they took counsel together whether they could drive the ship upon it. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time loosing the bands of the rudders and hoisting up the foresail to the wind. They made for the beach, but the lighting upon the place was where two seas met, and they ran the vessel aground. The foreship struck and remained unmovable, but the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, desiring to save Paul, stayed them from their purpose, and commanded that they who could swim should cast themselves overboard and first get to land, and the rest, some on planks and some on other things from the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to the land. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27. Where Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." The devotional reading is Psalm 107. I'm going to read verses 23 through 32. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of Jehovah and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up into the heavens, they go down again into the depths. Their soul melteth away because of the trouble. They reel to and fro, staggering like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto Jehovah in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad, because they are quiet. He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise Jehovah for his loving kindness, for his wonderful works for the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the seat of the elders. There's another passage I want to read. In this Sunday school lesson, it's called Reference Material. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside himself. I more, in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in deaths oft of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils of my countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. The island in which Paul and his company found themselves was later they discovered to be the Isle of Melita. It is now called Malta. It is south of Sicily, and only 17 miles long and 9 miles broad in the widest place. Look out on a map of all the towns and islands and countries men mentioned. This must be done in order to have a clear conception of this voyage. Paul left Caesarea for Rome. The next place to Caesarea in the voyage mentioned is Sidon. Next is the island of Cyprus, then the provinces of Cilicia and Pamphylia, Myra, a city of Lycia, the island Sindus, the island Crete, Cape Salome, Fair Havens near Lyssa on Crete, Phoenix, a town and haven of Crete, which was not reached, and the island Cauda. Here's some helpful hints for the teachers about Paul's prayer being answered. Paul had prayed that through the will of God he might see Rome and establish the saints there and have some fruit among them as well as among the rest of the Gentiles and find rest and joy among them. We read about this in the first chapter of Romans and some also in the 15th chapter. He needed rest. God answered this prayer in a promise in the castle at Jerusalem when he said to Paul, "So must thou bear witness also at Rome," Acts 23:11. And God fulfilled this promise, though all the current circumstances of Paul's arrest, imprisonment, and trials at Caesarea and Roman citizenship, the machinations of the Jews, the avarice of Felix, the indecision of Festus, the prudence of Paul, and the Roman stature for the protection of citizens had very strangely yet naturally combined to fulfill a promise of God made in answer to his prayer. God carried Paul through these diabolical plots of the Jews at Jerusalem, these trials, and 2 years of imprisonment at Caesarea, the long and terrible storm at sea, the shipwreck, and the proposition of the barbarous soldiers to slay the prisoners, lest they should escape. Yet Paul had to exercise at all times the greatest prudence and skill and use all the means at his command. He was as prudent and skillful and as laborious as if all depended on his own exertions, and prayed always as full of trust and comfort and confidence in God's promises as if all depended on God alone without an effort on his part. This is trust. It was Paul doing his part as best he could and relying on God to do everything that God had promised. Let's look at the course pursued. From the use of the we pronoun again, it is seen that Luke was with Paul on this voyage. The last mention of we is just after the arrival of Paul and his company at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21 and verse 18. Luke was doubtless with Paul during much of these 2 years' imprisonment at Caesarea. Aristarchus, of Thessalonica also accompanied Paul, and later Paul calls him his fellow prisoner in Colossians chapter 4 in verse 10. He was a fellow prisoner, probably voluntarily. A centurion named Julius had charge of Paul and other such prisoners. Julius had a command of a company of the Augustan band, a cohort named for Emperor Augustus, just as the people now name military companies for prominent men. They embarked in a ship of Adramidium. Adramidium was a city of Mysia, east of the Aegean Sea. This ship was not for sailing to Italy, but they expected to intercept some other ship which was sailing for Italy, which they did at Myra. The ship touched at Sidon, where Paul was allowed to go ashore and receive attention from the saints there. Julius treated Paul kindly. Paul always won the respect and favor of the Gentile officers who had him in their charge. He did this by his open, frank, and honorable deportment. The Gentiles knew that the Jews persecuted him because of his free association with the Gentiles, and they sympathized with him. The ship sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. We know that lee means shelter, the side opposite to that against which the wind blows, and hence they sailed along the northeastern shore of Cyprus. The ship kept close to shore. Those who say there is a westerly current along this coast from Syria to the archipelago, the ship sought the advantage of this current. At Myra in Lycia, they found a ship of Alexandria in Egypt sailing for Italy, and there changed ships. This ship was loaded with wheat. It was out of direct course to Italy from Alexandria, probably because of these same contrary winds. From Myra to the island Sindus was only about 130 miles, yet it required many days of slow sailing to reach it, which shows that the ship came with difficulty over against Sindus. It did not touch there. The voyage was a difficult one all the way. For protection, they avoided the open sea and sought next the lee of Crete over against Salonae, the eastern extremity. Hence they sailed along the southeastern and southern coast of the island. With the island to protect them, it was with great difficulty that they prevented the wind from drafting them out into the open sea. But with difficulty coasting along it, we came to a certain place called Fair Havens. There they spent much time, and the voyage was now not only difficult, but dangerous. It was now fall, after the feast of the Jewish Day of Atonement, which occurred on the 10th day of the 7th month, Leviticus 23, 26, and 27, or about the last of our September or 1st of October, and the rainy season had set in. Paul's advice was to winter there. Although God had promised that he should preach the gospel in Rome, yet he advised the safety of all in avoiding the dangerous journey. The fact of this advice shows in what respect Paul the prisoner was held. However, because Fair Havens was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to try to reach Phoenix and winter there. All had given up the thought of trying to reach Italy before spring. They remained at Fair Havens until a favorable time to start, and when the south wind blew softly, they thought, with no further trouble, they could reach Phoenix, another haven not far away on the same side of the island near the western end. But as soon as they had started, a terrible tornado called Euroquillo swept down upon the ship from the mountains of Crete and drove it from the island into the open sea. Euroquillo means northeast wind. It's very dangerous, and this ship, caught in the storm, could not face the wind and compelled to give way, and it was driven before it. We'll continue in our next class.